Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, we come at this hour of the morning. We come with thanksgiving dripping from our lips. We come realizing, Father, that you, God, and besides you, there is no other God. Father, we thank you right now for what you have already done in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for what we know that you're going to do, Father. And then, Father, as we come this morning, Father, we lift up Israelite Baptist Church, every member, Father, regardless of what they are facing or what they're going through, Father, we ask that you would be with them, Father, that you would touch them, Father, that you would heal them in all broken places, Father. And as we come this morning, Father, we ask that you would look beyond our faults and our failures, Father, and that you would fill us with your presence, fill us with your fresh anointing, Father. Let your Holy Ghost fall upon us, Father. Father, we ask that if it be thy will, that thou will use this vessel, the vessel you made, Father, a vessel made of clay. Oh, Father, that you will use me today and speak through me and speak to your people. Father, we ask that you will hide Pastor Smith or Emmanuel Smith or Emmanuel behind our cross, O Heavenly Father, that you might be seen and that you might be glorified. Father, as we come to this preaching assignment and this preaching hour, we know that we can do nothing without you, but with you all things are possible. Father, we ask that you will use my tongue and use my mouth, O Father. Use the mind that you have placed in me, O Heavenly Father, that I might give to your people a revelated word, Father, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of deliverance, a word of healing, Father, a word to let them know that, you are still God and you're still in charge of your creation, Father, and that you are God that can still do everything but fail, Father. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this hour. Thank you for this moment, Father. Now we ask, O Father God, that you will have your way in this service, O Heavenly Father. Anoint, Father, deliver, and preach your word to your people, that they might not just be hearers, but they will leave this place being doers of your word. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray, and we say, amen, amen, amen again. Again, we greet you with love, my sisters and brothers, and we greet you in the name of Jesus. We are so thankful that you have decided to join us once again on this morning. We believe that God do have a word for the people of God, so we ask that you would listen carefully this morning if you would, oh, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give honor to God Almighty for this blessed privilege and this most glorious opportunity to be able to come one more time into the presence of God and to be used by God. We thank God for the people of God who have joined us this morning to praise and to magnify God's holy and his righteous name. Church, in my spirit this morning, I could hear some of the voices of the old saints singing an old hymn that we don't hear enough in the church today. It simply says, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, and heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And church, it is this God that woke us up this morning and gave us another opportunity to serve and to praise him. And as we have assembled today to give thanks to a God that have gave to us and for us his only begotten son to suffer and to die that we might live. Somebody ought to praise his name. Church, join me this morning as we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We will attempt to lift our message from the Gospel of St. Luke. St. Luke, I want to look at chapter 22, verses 47 through 48. That's the Gospel as it recorded by St. Luke, chapter 22, verse 47 and 48. Which read thusly, and while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas
one of the 12 went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Let me read it one more time for your hearing. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Church, just for a little while this morning, allow me to speak to your hearts from this thought. Christ betrayed with a kiss. Christ betrayed with a kiss. Church, in the Western world, a kiss is a common gesture of greeting. And at times, a kiss is expected. And believe it or not, there are some people that get offended when they are not greeted with a kiss. Throughout all of culture, people greet one another as a sign of recognition, a sign of affection, as a sign of friendship or reverence. Depending on the occasion and the culture, a greeting may take the form of a handshake. It may take the form of a hug. Some people will bow before others, and other people will nod their heads, while others greet each other with a kiss on the lips or a kiss of kisses on the cheek, which is a common greeting in many cultures. Greeting someone you know with a kiss is a vital part of courtesy and goodwill. It is an opportunity, my sisters and brothers, to demonstrate respect for others. And when you greet someone, you acknowledge their presence. In church, as we peruse our text, we will learn that a kiss sometime can appear as an act of friendship. But in the end, some kisses can be more dangerous to us than a dagger being pierced through our hearts. So I pause before lifting up the text to tell somebody who's listening this morning to be careful who's kissing on you. Church, in our text, we find that Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer, had just completed the Passover meal with all 12 of the disciples. The Bible said it was in a spacious upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. Church, this night and this celebration would be one of the most memorable nights of the lives of those who participated in it. It was on this night that Jesus told his disciples that tonight my suffering will begin. This will be my last meal until the Passover is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Church, Jesus was coming close to leaving this world and going back to heaven to be with his heavenly Father. His time was running out. So the Bible says that Jesus looked across the table at Judas, and he knew that the devil had already convinced Judas to betray him. You already know this story, church. You remember that Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him that very night. And you know how the disciples began to question Jesus. They wanted to know, is it I? And Jesus finally told John, who leaned over and asked Jesus, who is it? And Jesus said to John that he would dip the bread in the dish, and then he would hand it to his betrayer. And when Jesus had dipped it in the dish, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And the Bible said that Judas got up out of his seat and left the room. And when Jesus and the 11 had completed the meal, the Bible said that Jesus prayed to his Father. He said, "Father, the time has finally come. Glorify your Son that I might be able to glorify you." Can I pause here long enough to tell somebody that if you receive any glory at all, don't you get too excited about it, but know that you receive glory that you might be able to glorify him that have glorified you. Somebody ought to praise God right here. And check, the Bible said that after he had prayed, they began to sing, and they sung a song, and when they had finished the hymn, the Bible said that Jesus led them down the outer stairs and through the streets of Jerusalem, out of the eastern gate. They crossed the Kindred Valley and went up into the Mount of Olives, to Jesus' favorite place of retreat, the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said that when Jesus and his disciples entered the garden, that Jesus told them, some of them, to sit here while I go yonder and pray. And Jesus told them that, "I just don't want you to sit here now. But while you're sitting here, I want you to pray." Somebody ought to know that man ought to always pray, not faint. Jesus said, "I want you to pray so that you don't cave into temptation." And the Bible said Jesus took Peter and the Zebedee brothers a little further into the garden. And as he walked with them, the Bible said he became exceedingly sorrow. The weight of our sins and the weight of death had overshadowed him. And he said to Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even until the point of death." Then Jesus told Peter and the Zebedee boys to sit here and watch for me. And Jesus went a little further. And the Bible said he fell down on his knees and began to talk to his heavenly Father. And I want somebody to notice, church, that Jesus and the 11 disciples, the Bible said they entered the garden together. Judas had already abandoned Jesus and was already somewhere plotting and scheming with the enemy of Jesus. But the 11 others were still following Jesus. And the Bible says that he left 9 of them in the early part of the garden. And then he took Peter, James, and John, the same 3 that was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took them a little further into the garden. And there he told them to watch for him. And now there's somebody probably wondering, why did he take Peter, James, and John? And the truth of the matter is, I'm not certain. Maybe it was because they were the first called to follow him and had been with him longer. Maybe it was because they had received more training and they demonstrated a stronger degree of faith. We know that they were a part of Jesus' inner circle, which let us assume that they were closer to Jesus. But whatever the reason was, our text tells us that he took them with him a little further into the garden. And I need to tell somebody that Jesus goes a little further in. He goes further in because of our sins. He goes further in seeking redemption. Not for himself, but for you and me. Church, Jesus goes further in, and he began to have a little talk with his Father. He's not bitter here. He's not angry. He's not confused. He knows why he's there, and he understands his emotions. He understands his suffering and his pain. But he also knew that he had a Father in heaven who could do anything but fail. So the Bible says he fell down on his knees and that he asked his Father, "Father, if it is possible to take this cup of suffering and death away from me. But then the Bible says, and somebody got to remember that Jesus had given up his seat in heaven, and Jesus came down to do the will of the Father. So he wasn't there trying to do what he wanted to do. He wasn't really concerned about himself. He felt the pain. He felt the suffering. But his final words to Jesus, but nevertheless, he says to the Father, I would like this cup to be taken away, but not my will, but thy will be done. And church, I wonder if got anybody who's listening this morning that's truly willing to do the will of the Father. I wonder if you're going to do his will, especially when it means that you're going to encounter some pain and suffering. Are you willing to do his will when you have to face some trials, trouble, and tribulations? I wonder if you truly would do his will when your family and your friends have betrayed you and turned their backs on you. The Bible says that after Jesus went a little further, and after the third time, he prayed the same old prayer. And I need to pause one more time because I noticed that the Bible says he prayed the same prayer. I need to tell somebody it's okay to pray the same prayer. It's okay to be repetitious in prayer. Jesus prayed the same prayer. And I'm afraid, church, that sometimes we get up off our knees too soon. Sometimes we abandon our prayer too soon. My God, we need to keep on calling out on his name. Keep on calling out on Jesus. My God, he may not answer us as fast as we want him to answer us. And our answer may not come the old-fashioned way. My God, it may not come by email. It might not come by text or telephone. Our answer may not come in an Instagram because Jesus still wants us to spend some time in the book. He still wants us to search his word. The Bible said after the third time, Jesus came back to the disciples. He finds them asleep. He wakes them up and told the disciples, let us go a little further into the garden. Church, there are times when you have to go a little further in to get what you need. There are times when you have to go a little further in to get what you expect. You can't hang around on the edge. You can't hang around in the back. You got to go further in and deeper down. Jesus took them further in and they prepared themselves to receive the enemy of Jesus and the betrayer of Jesus. I know that you already know the story, and I know that you know that I'm about to talk about Judas and his kiss of betrayal, but I want you to hold on to this point, that Judas is not the only one that have betrayed Jesus, but on this night, the Judas is the headliner, but we know that even before Judas and the delegation of officials representing the chief priests, the religious leaders, the elders, and the Pharisees had ever entered the garden, that they had already met together. They had already drew up their plan of attack. But the only person who could identify Jesus was Judas. Judas signed to Jesus' adversary would be a kiss. They had talked about it. They had met on it. And they said, we really don't know the man. We heard about him. My God. And we heard that he was a miracle worker. We heard about him. And we heard that he could do some impossible things. We heard about this man named Jesus who could part water, who can heal the sick, who can deliver those who are dead, give sight to those who are blind. We heard about Jesus, but we don't know what he looked like. Judas, you know him. So when we go into God, you got to let us know which one is Jesus. And Judas said to them, I kiss him, and the one I kiss, he's Jesus. Oh, somebody ought to hear me this morning. They had already schemed. They already planned, had a plan of attack, because the only person who could identify Jesus was Judas. And Judas' sign to Jesus' adversary would be a kiss. Church, the Bible said that when the military platoon approached Jesus, they were carrying weapons. They carried torches. They carried swords and clubs. But the Bible said when Jesus stepped forth and he asked them, whom are you seeking? They said, Jesus. And Jesus said unto him that I am him. And the Bible let us know that out of fear, all these military men, with all these clubs, with all these weapons, they stumbled backwards. And the Bible said some of them even fell to the ground out of fear. Can I tell you, church, that there's power in the name of Jesus? So when you can't do nothing else, you ought to just call out on the name of Jesus. When you're in pain and the doctor can't help you, you ought to call out on Jesus. When you're in need, call out on the name of Jesus. When you don't know what to do, just call out on the name of Jesus. Jesus told him, I am Jesus. And if it's me that you want, and if it's me that you're looking for, take me and let the other ones go. But because they did not know Jesus, they turned and looked toward Judas. And Judas knew that the hour for him to perform had come. And Judas stepped forward, and he greeted Jesus with a kiss of betrayal. Church, this is the same Judas who had spent the last 3 years with Jesus, but now was betraying Jesus for a few pieces of silver. Yes, this was Judas who had was there passing out food when Jesus fed the 5,000. And this was Judas who was there when Jesus healed the sick, healed the lame, had given sight to the blind. And on that same night, Jesus had washed the feet of Judas. And now he's here in the garden portraying our Savior with a kiss. Judas knew Jesus. He knew Jesus was who he claimed to be. But here he is. He made a choice to walk in darkness. He made a choice to betray our Savior. He made a choice to betray our Redeemer. Oh, my God, for a fist full of silver. And he did it with a kiss. And now I want to somebody who remembers that I told you that Judas wasn't the only one that had betrayed Jesus. For somebody may remember or may recall that Peter, on the same night as he stood by the fire warming himself, when he was identified by one of the maidens of the high priest as being one that had been with Jesus, he denied even knowing Jesus. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but his denial is an act of betrayal. But not only did Judas and Peter betray Jesus, but each one of you who are listening to me today, we all are guilty of betraying Jesus. Church, each one of us drove those nails into his hand. Each one of us drove those nails into his feet. Each one of us placed him on that old wooden cross. And somebody know he died because each one of us had sinned. If you're listening to me, I know I'm telling the truth, because the Bible said we all, that means every one of us, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sinning mean that we left him by himself, that we did what we wanted to do, that we betrayed him, each one of us. He was pierced in the side and he died. He was taken down and placed in a borrowed tomb because of our betrayal, because of our lifestyle, because of our lies, because of our cheating and no good ways. So don't claim that you are so righteous and that you are holier than thou. You don't have any room to go around blaming Judas and blaming Peter because we are no better than they are. For if we would take an honest look at ourselves, we would realize that none of us are holy as we claim to be. If you and I would take a true look at ourselves, we would all say, it's me, oh Lord, who stands in the need of forgiveness. Church, I'm glad that Judas betrayed. I'm glad that Peter betrayal. I'm glad that your betrayal and my betrayal. I'm glad that death and the grave could not keep our Savior in the grave. Church, I'm glad that on the third day morning, it was Sunday morning, that our Savior, our Redeemer, our propitiation got up out of that old muddy grave. The Bible said with all power in his hand. Church, Judas' kiss didn't kill him. The Roman soldier's sword didn't kill him. The scribes, the high priests, the Pharisees, the religious teachers, you and I did not kill him. The cross and the grave could not hold him, because early on Sunday morning, somebody said it was the first day of the week, our Savior got up out of the grave. He got up out of that grave with all power in his hand. And I'm glad today that we didn't kill him. But I come to close right now, and I need to leave you with one thought on your mind. I want to tell you, be careful who's kissing on you. Be careful who's kissing on you. God bless you and God keep you. Let's prepare ourselves now to take our communion. Be careful who's kissing on you. God bless you. It's communion time, my sisters and brothers. I pray, God, that each one of you have your sacraments ready as we get ready to take our communion for the third time in this year. Now, I have asked people not to hang up, and I hear them hanging up already. And normally, the service is not complete until after the benediction. But apparently, they got what they think they need. Your blessing might be in the benediction. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts. My sisters and brothers, the word of God says, the cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread in which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. But we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar. What say I then? That the idols is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything? But I said that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after that same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You do show forth the Lord death until he come again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we shall not be condemned with the world. May God bless the hearers and the readers and the hearers of his holy word. God bless each one of you. The Bible said that they sung a hymn and they all walked out. Let's conclude our worship service.
Amen. Amen.